The Bible says that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Have you come with thanksgiving this morning? Is your heart full of thankfulness? You know, the Bible also says that if we have a thankful heart, we can expect a double portion. That's good. That's great just to start with. Just to know what God's word says to our lives. Everybody okay? Everybody had a good Christmas? And it is 2018. And I'm believing for a great year. I don't know about you. I don't want the same as 2017. You know, I can highlight some incredible stuff in 2017, but I want to live God's 2018. Anybody with me on that? Anybody want to move on? You know, it's great to kind of live in the moment and to see what God's been doing in our lives throughout 2017, but, you know, I believe he wants to move us on in 2018. I think there's some things that he wants to say to us, some things that he wants to do, some places that he wants us to go, some people that he wants us to meet, some things that he wants us to engage with. And that means that we've got to be open for that. That means that we've got to be prepared to do some things different than we've done before. Maybe it means that we've got to say yes where we've said no. Maybe we need to say no where we've said yes. Is any of this making sense? And if we want to be different in 2018, then we've got to be quite intentional about that. God is not going to come and kick us up the backside. God doesn't work like that. You know, God is spirit. And he wants to come along and just speak into our spirit because he wants to do some new things. Are you hearing me, church? With us as a church community, he's wanting to do some new things. He's wanting us to move forward. And that's why I'm so privileged this morning to be speaking, starting this series on what we've called Count the Stars. I love the thought and the biblical thought of counting the stars, which we'll come to in a few moments. I was out, not for very long, of course, in the garden last night, later on, and very, very clear night. And where we live, there is much less light pollution. And I was able to look up into the skies. Did anybody go outside and look at those stars last night? Did anybody see that? Just an incredible, we take things for granted, and yet when there's no light pollution or very little, we can look up and we can see the stars, and there's something very, very special and very beautiful about the sky at night. I think the stars, you know, thinking about the stars and how God speaks about that and some of the things that we'll come on to this morning, I think that the stars are the language of adventure. God wants to lead us into adventure. You know, it's not some boring life that God's called us to. He's called us to be in an adventure. And these are some of the things that we're going to be looking at. God wants these things for us. I don't know this morning. I don't know how old you are, how young you are. But wherever you are and whoever you are, I want to ask you this. Do you remember what adventure's like? Can you remember the last real adventure of your life? Because, you know, I don't believe that adventure just has to be for the young. All you oldies said, adventure. Now we know those of you who think you're old. I think adventure is for all of us, don't you think? And God has an incredible adventure for us. But I wonder if you remember adventure. The days when nothing was too big a challenge for you. You know, all of us can think back, and sometimes we look now and we think, hey, we've lost a little bit of that in our lives. And before God, we can lose a little bit of our adventure. It was interesting. Just a few months ago, I was coming out of Postcode Coffee House, and it was a summer's day. And as I walked out, there was this young man, and he comes along to this church community, and his name's Ethan. And as I walked out, I could see Ethan playing something. And he had no tools. He had no toys. He was just wearing what he was wearing. But do you know what? He had something in his hand. And he was talking away. He didn't even know I was there. He was totally in a different world. But he was waving whatever he was waving about, and he was saying words, and there was nobody there. But that young lad, Ethan Tickle, was on an adventure. And it was written all over his face. The body language was there, and he was giving it this. And I'm convinced he was doing a bit of a Star Wars thing. That's what I thought. And as I'm asking him, he's totally ignoring me. He's in the moment. He's like, don't interrupt my Star Wars game. But there was a sense of adventure. You could sense the adventure in this young boy. And it took me back to the days when, before Star Wars, when we would have our den. We had a den, and if any other gang went to our den, we'll be tied. And I had my mates, and we'd sit in our den, and we'd plan life. We'd plan adventure. We'd plan war. We'd plan all kinds of stuff, and we would play in adventure. Does anybody remember those days where there was such an adventure about our lives? In fact, sometimes we even planned to fly to the stars, and I reckon some of us have been there once or twice in our world and in our adventure. And I began to think that there are some times as we live the God adventure, as we live as believers and followers of the way, followers of Jesus, sometimes I look and I feel that we're living this God adventure and we lose some of our childlikeness. You know what I'm saying? That we look at kids in their adventure and in their world, and I kind of think, you know what, in the same kind of way, God wants us to live in this adventure day to day, and sometimes we lose our childlikeness. Sometimes our belief disintegrates. When our faith should rise, sometimes our belief just dies. And in that, we limit the adventure. Seems to me as I look around and observe life that by the time we get into our 30s, very often, and this isn't in every case, but very often I watch life and people, we kind of get through our 20s and there's adventure and we want to go for stuff and we get into our 30s and beyond, into our 40s and beyond, and it seems like we're not chasing the stars anymore, but we're just living in the status quo. It's like life is doing its thing. We're living in reality. Forget the adventure, Dave. We're just trying to deal with life. How many know that God has an adventure for us? I want to share with you just something that happened to me just a month or so before Christmas. I was in quite a large gathering of leaders. And the person who was leading this session at this conference that I was at, as he was speaking about his dream, as he was speaking about the adventure that God had been taking him on, he said, okay, I want everybody to stop taking notes. So everybody did. He said, and listen to me for a moment. He says, I want you to go back to when God gave you that dream. I want you to go back to that time of adventure where God spoke to you. And there was silence in the room, and I began to think about what God had said to me about what we would be as a church community all those years ago. And as I began to think about this stuff, I remembered that God had said to me very, very clearly so many years ago, You will be large numerically as a church community. Your church, and actually there were some numbers that came into my mind, and I set a target that was well below what ultimately God had said to me and said, okay, we'll go for this first. God said to me, you will be a church of influence. And your influence will come, generally speaking, through your size. Through your size numerically. Through the size of your adventure. Through the size of your thinking. That you will not only be a large church, but you will be a church of influence, the second thing. The third thing, very clearly, I felt God say to me, is that you will be a resource church. That not only will you be about yourselves, but you will be about building church in other places. That you will help others on the journey. Whether that's in this nation or in other nations, we will be a resource church. I thank God that we've seen a lot of that. Whether that's resourcing other churches in this town and helping them, or in the Czech Republic, or in Australia, or wherever God wants to send us, that we would be a resource church to the nations. And the other thing that God said to me, and this is many, many years ago, was that we would be a media church. That we would use everything of what there was then and what there now is to bring across the gospel of Jesus, the good news, and how to live for Him. Very clear things, very clear vision that God gave to me. And I was thinking of all this stuff while everybody was silent. And you know what? I've got to admit to you this morning that I was feeling just a little bit discouraged. I remember this number that we've been going for so many years, and I went back to that number and I thought, God, we've never really reached the first step. We've never really broken through what I felt that you've said to me. And I don't know why this guy until the end was asking us to do this, but it wasn't particularly doing me a lot of good. So after a minute or two, this speaker said, okay, what I want you to do now is, on the basis of the dream that you had, I now want you to times that by 100. You know, sometimes you just want to punch the preacher. And I thought about the implications of what that meant. I'm like, that is just so, so out there. And I don't know about you, but that in that moment, I had a real God moment. You ever had one of those? Scripture in the Greek, if you're into that, calls it Kairos moment. It's a very distinct moment that God speaks into our life. And that morning, God spoke to me in that moment. And I realized that really it was nothing to do with the numbers that I had carried in my mind and in my heart for so long, as much as the size of my thinking. And really, what God was saying, and this was the Kairos moment for me, this was the God moment, this was the moment that God was speaking into my heart. He said, David, you are thinking too small. And it was a real God moment for me. And I don't want to underestimate the size of the adventure that we've journeyed together. That would be amiss of me to do that. I thank God for all that He's done, don't you? I thank for all that He's given us. I thank you for every person that's come to faith. I thank you for those that are still with us. I thank God for those that are abroad these days, serving in other lands, serving in other parts of the United Kingdom. I thank God for everyone we've seen baptized. I thank God for everyone we've seen being the light in the community. I thank God for what He's given us with this space. I thank God for all of those things. This isn't about not appreciating our past. It's not about that this morning. I say thank God that we've journeyed this together. But what I want to add to that is simply this. There is so much more. Did you hear me, church? There is so much more. I want to tell you this morning, it's not over. Come on. It's not over. It's not over. God's not over. You're not over. You're enough. It's not over. God's not over. You're enough. There is so much more. And I just get the feeling that God just wants to stretch our thinking. I was reminded as I began to dwell and think about this moment in God that I had as I left that conference. You know, it's a Kairos moment and a God moment when it doesn't leave you. You know, when you leave a place and the day after you're still feeling the same, God's spoken to me. You know, it wasn't just a moment of, you know, let's go and get prayed for and God touches me and then I go home. It was more than that. It was something that God was doing in my spirit. He was speaking into my spirit. And so the day after, I felt the same. The day after that, I felt the same. Today, I feel the same. It must be a month or two beyond that corner. I feel the same. God was speaking into my life. And He gave me this thought as I was musing on this when I got home and sometime later as I was thinking about what God had said. I was reminded of God's promise to Abram in Genesis 15, which is where, of course, we get the title, Count the Stars. And I just want to remind you, just with a snippet of this morning, I want to continue with this ministry next week and share some things with you from the story that I believe will help us with our adventure. But for this week, just to set the grounding and the foundation, let me read to you Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. This, of course, is the Old Testament. God is speaking in to the man of God, and the man of God's trying to listen. Chapter 15, verse 1. It says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. Do you know, I love that. I say it in the notes, but I love it anyway. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. No, it's just as well that God gives us more than one chance. Sometime later, He'd already spoken to Abram, but He spoke to him again. And I want to say that's a hope sign, that God wants to speak to us again. He may have spoken before, we may have ignored Him, we may have done our own thing. God wants to speak to you again. So here we go. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram. God says to you in 2018, don't be afraid. Don't fear stuff. You may have some stuff coming up in 2018. All kinds of things going on in your world. Don't fear. Don't fear. God's with you. Are you hearing me? Simple word, do not fear. Do not fear for that stuff that you've been worried about and bothered about. God's got it in hand. Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you. Wow. I tell you what, I've got a mate, Isaac. Some of you know him. He's the guy on this side who looks like a Sherman tank. Did you see him before? Those of you who knew. He is my personal bodyguard. If anybody comes near me, he will get you. But I tell you something, if it's a choice between my hero, Isaac, or Lou Rankinshee. Thank you, Isaac. Such an exhibitionist. And God protecting me. I tell you who I want protecting me every day of the week. You hear what I'm saying? I will protect you and your reward will be great. Come on. A great reward. And Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? I want to go there now and I'm not going there now. Since you have given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. So my inheritance is going to someone else at the minute, God, because you've not given me kids. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Wow. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, Look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And Abram believed the Lord. Here's a key. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him righteous because of his faith. Thank you. He counted him righteous because of his faith. Here's an observation that I have of what's just taken place here. God drew Abram's attention towards a million stars before he even had one star. Before he'd even reached his first milestone, no kid. Before he'd reached the starting point, as it were, God didn't throw one at him, he threw millions at him. He said, come and look at the stars and you count them. For me, that was such a point of my Kairos moment that I'd had these numbers in my mind and I was dwelling and planning and strategizing and intentionally building for years towards a number. And God says, your number is puny. Look at my stars. Before I'd even reach one, before we've even reached the starting point, in my mind, God is showing us the millions. Wow. And was showing me that it wasn't really about the numbers, but it was about the size of my thinking. You know, the good news is, and I want you to get this, the good news is that the size of our adventure, everybody think about this. We think about our adventure together. The size of our adventure is forged within the enormity of God. Wow. But the bad news is that often our adventure, as we see it, we judge it based on what we have already seen or haven't already seen. My conclusion and conviction is this morning, that we need a much bigger vision of God. You know, before a vision of things, we need a much bigger vision of God. There's a leading world leader, I believe, in the Christian faith, Brian Houston. He tweeted this yesterday. I thought this was a real challenge, and I'm going to share it with you, a question. In 2018, will you live as small as your narrow thinking or as big as your open spirit? Let me say it again. Here's the challenge to us in 2018. In 2018, will you live as small as your narrow thinking or as big as your open spirit? I want to comment to you and speak just for a short time now on what I'm calling tent vision. Some of you have just clicked on why there's a tent on stage. Tent vision. And just for the time that I have, I just want to share a bit about this, and then next week we're going to move on to some of that stuff. I encourage you to listen on and be here and be challenged, and because I do believe God wants us on a bigger adventure than we believe. I believe that Abram was guilty of this tent vision, and I think we are too. And this morning, I want to take you into my tent. Is that okay? Who wants to come in my tent? I want to take you all in my tent. Every one of you. I heard some of the kids. I heard some of the big kids shout, "I'll come." But I want to take you for a few moments into my tent. Let me say this before I take you in there. Do you know it's possible for us to arrive in this amazing arena, but to live in that tent? And I'm going to go in there for a few minutes, and I kind of recognize that you're not going to, you know, go with me. How many hated tents as a kid? How many like them? Some of you feel quite awkward right now. I tell you something, not as awkward as me. This is Isaac's tent. It stinks. I wouldn't want to be in this tent, I'm telling you. Okay, so here we are in our tent together. You're going to have to imagine. You're going to have to imagine all several hundred of you this morning are in this tent with me right now. I want to say this to you. I believe this. We think within our tent-sized enclosures. And so let me explain as I lie down. Let me explain to you what I mean. So let me give you a bit of a definition of this tent. The tent is where we dwell on the adventure. Yeah? It's the place where we live whilst on God's adventure. And so I'm not speaking about your address. I'm not speaking about your house, just your physical house. I'm talking about the place that we live in, the place that we dwell. This includes what we do. This includes our priorities or lack of. This includes our beliefs, our values, our intentions. It's the place that we live. It's the place that we dwell on God's adventure. That is the tent. It's where we dwell. Another thing about the tent is the tent is our reality. It's today's reality. And I get this, church. I understand that we have a present reality. It's called the tent that we dwell in. Yeah. We're on God's journey. We're on His adventure. But Dave, we have a life. We have a tent. We have stuff going on around us. And I get that. I understand that. You see, the tent is our reality. It's where we are living right now. It's interesting, isn't it, that in our lives, that as we live in this tent and we all want to be on God's adventure, but there's kind of stuff going on in our world, and we get so caught up. We get so caught up in our present reality. And so we're in this dwelling, and it's pretty intense. Did you see what I did there? And it's the place that we can get very discontent. So let me tell you. Let me tell you about tent vision. Tent vision means I only see as far as the canvas. I actually only start to live according to my immediate circumstances and surroundings. And this is what it does. When we do that, it kind of does this. It takes us away, and it takes away the sight of the big adventure. Does that make sense? So when we are in our dwelling, when we are in our tent and we are living just in relation to that alone, it takes away the sight of the big adventure and we start living in the tent. Let me say something to you, for those of you who love camping. I know some, there's at least quite a lot of you. You know, there may be adventure in sleeping in a tent, but never staying in it forever. And what's happening here in Genesis 15, where God is in this tent with Abram, you know, his dwelling, they dwelled in tents, and God's in this tent with him, and what he's doing in Genesis 15, I believe, is God is saying, Abram, the tent is affecting your thinking. It's affecting your vision. What I want you to do is come out here and look up. I want to encourage you right now to reposition yourself so that you can see the size of my adventure. I want to tell you, church, that's how I felt on that day at that conference. I felt like God was saying, just, Dave, step out of the tent for a moment. Step out of what you've seen and what you've not seen and what you've believed for and what's not happened and what has happened, and in all your gratitude and your discouragement and maybe at times your disappointment, I want you to step out of the tent. I want you to see something more than you've just set as a target. I want you to see something more than just a number. I want you to see beyond the canvas of the tent. I actually want you to come out and look up. I want you to see my size and not your size. I want you to come into my level of thinking and not just your level of thinking. I want you to reposition yourself, Dave. And I want you to look up. And so what I believe in God, and what's happening? I now know why I don't go camping. Is that God was speaking to Abram, and he was taking him from a place of the parochial into a space of the panorama. Hear what I'm saying. God wants to take us away from a place of just the parochial and he wants us to see the panorama. And so he came out that day and with God, and he began to look up. He came out of his tent where he could only see the stuff going on around him and what hadn't happened and what promises hadn't been kept and what, as he believed at that time. And he went from the parochial to the panorama, and suddenly he could see the stars. God brought him out and he began to look up at the stars. And God reaffirmed some stuff and said, this is the enormity of my thinking. Come out of your smallness of thinking. Come out of your tent and begin to see what I see. Begin to believe what I've promised for you. Let faith arise. And that's exactly what happened on that day. I'd like to say this as we come to a point of prayer this morning. It's time to come out of the tent and count the stars again. For whatever that tent of yours looks like at this time, it may look pretty rough in the surroundings of your tent. There may be lots of stuff. You know, you may have moved on. You may be in a different season of life. You may be young and in a tent. But God says, come outside. And I want you to look up. Stop looking down. Look up. Look up at the stars and begin to count the stars that are innumerable. God wants us to do that again, I believe. To take us from what is to what could be. Come on, church. From what is, and thank God for what is, but for what could be. From what is to what could be. Out of the immediate and into the future.